Hello, and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast number 2004. The topic is mindset, and the title is How to Get What You Want. There's a short phrase that I shared with a new client recently, and it's simple. What you want is in what you avoid. There are more eloquent ways to say that, but all of those eloquent ways boil down to often the things that we want, we already know what we should be doing, but we're just not doing it. It's interesting in the sense that when I share with clients what our program would be towards a goal, maybe they have a goal of fat loss, building muscle, gaining strength, competing, just whatever it is, when I share with them the steps of what it'll take to get there, I don't get to create the steps. Meaning, I don't create how the body loses body fat. I don't create the way that the body builds muscle or increases strength. There are known pathways, and hopefully, you know, with good knowledge base, I can present to people some options of pathways. So it's not, you know, just one size fits all approach. There are some options to it. But if I want to lose body fat, there has to be some awareness to food intake per day. Meaning I have to count calories or I have to eat very specific meal options so that way I know I'm in a proper deficit. I'm not in too much of a deficit. I'm not in not enough of a deficit or no deficit at all. I have to have some attention to my calories if I want to lose weight. If I want to build muscle, I have to have the same thing. Attention to my calories to make sure I'm eating in a surplus, but more so protein. They have done research and they have shown that you can build muscle in a caloric deficit, assuming that there's excessive protein. So protein is the thing that you would like hyper-focus on. You still have to pay attention to calories. I would still argue that that's a first kind of component because if the deficit is too large, it wouldn't matter how much protein you're having. You're still not going to build muscle. So the deficit has to be minimal, and then ideally most people wouldn't want a deficit because that's going to impact your training. So calories and protein if you want to build muscle. If you want to increase strength, same thing, and I would add in sleep because that's when your nervous system creates a lot of the repair and new connection. So sleep is extremely important. Sleep is going to be important for all the goals, but for strength, it's very, very, very important. So you have calories, protein, and sleep. But there are elements that you have to pay attention to. You have to give some degree of attention greater than what you're giving now. And more so than attention, it's action. Because you can have great intentions to do things, but if you don't do them, you don't get anything. So attention is a part of what you need to be doing, but we also need to have actions associated with what we want to change in order to produce a change. I have to change my calories to produce a change in body weight. I would want to change my sleep habits to make sleep more consistent if I want an outcome that more consistent sleep requires. You know, the outcome requires that. It's the reason why I'm saying it in this way is there are things you have to do to get what you want. Likely, we're all aware of at least something. You might not have the whole picture, but you're often at least aware of something that you could or should be doing that would help. And if you don't know yet, maybe you talk with a coach. The coach then tells you some things to do. So then you do know. And that's even better because now you know exactly what it is. And like what I do with my clients, I tell them the most efficient things first. I'm not going to give them a list of 10 things where, you know, one of them is going to make a 50% difference and the rest of them make, you know, a 5 or 10% difference. I'm going to give them the 50% difference first, say, hey, focus on this, crush this, then let's do the next thing, then let's do the next thing, then let's do the next thing. I like that because often when you give people multiple options, they'll choose the easiest of the options. Not what's most effective, they'll choose easiest. But they then expect most effective outcomes. Meaning they'll choose the easiest thing to do, but they'll still expect like earth-shattering, life-altering outcomes. And it's like, that doesn't work. You don't get to do the lazy option, but get an amazing result. So whether you know what you should be doing now, or you work with a coach, or you pick a diet program or a training program, and now you do know what you should be doing, we do have to do it. If I want to produce a change in what I'm getting, I have to produce a change in what I'm giving. That's how those work together. I was talking with somebody recently, and I'll keep it vague, but they were complaining about a lot of things in their life. But yet they were doing nothing for it. They had an excuse for why they were doing nothing, but they were doing nothing. And they weren't complaining just to vent. They were complaining in the sense that they've been expecting something to be different, and or they're just not doing anything to make it different, but yet they express that they're grumpy and mad and like, oh, this is, you know, bull crap and things should change. That frustrates me, and I think it would frustrate anybody. It sure is frustrating them, is they're struggling to make changes, and that would be gracious. I doubt they're doing anything to make the changes, but yet they want to change an outcome. It's interesting in the, like, I've talked to people, they've come into the gym, or I've talked to people as clients, and they'll tell you, oh, you know, I have a bad shoulder, my shoulder really hurts. And they'll tell you all the things they're doing to kind of like avoid it. But then you ask, well, what are you doing to address it? Crickets. That's usually the answer you get is kind of nothing. Meaning if they have a bad shoulder, they avoid the shoulder. I've had people in their 30s tell me that they have bad shoulders and they just don't do, oh, I don't do overhead presses anymore. I don't do lateral raises anymore. You know how it is when you get older. And I'm like, you are so full of shit. It makes me angry. They're in their 30s. They have more life ahead of them, hopefully, and knock on wood and on average. They have more life ahead of them than they have behind them. And they're going to accept a limitation. A correctable limitation. It's not like they're 4 foot tall trying to play in the NBA. They have a bad shoulder. They have 40 years, 50 years to fix it. They have a long freaking time to fix it, but they're not doing anything. And that's frustrating. It's frustrating for me because it's something I don't accept in myself, or I try not to. You know, we all have self-bias, and I probably have blind spots just like everybody else does. But I try not to, in what I'm aware of, accept limitations. I want to address those. I want to attack them, actually. So when I have that counter energy around me, it makes me angry. It makes me frustrated because I don't want that thinking to be near me, because I don't want that to ever be normalized. And then I don't want to have to then like be susceptible to also thinking that way. It comes back to, you're the sum of the five people you spend the most time with. You may have heard that phrase. Is who you spend time around, it'll bring out those aspects in you. So if you spend time around people who are complaining and defeated, you will complain more and you will be less proactive. You will behave in a defeated victim way more if that's the energy that you're around. I don't want that energy around, because I don't want any of those behaviors in me, so it makes me mad. it's not mad at the person, I'm mad for the person. There is a difference. In the sense that through coaching clients over all the years, through my own struggles, I've seen that enormous change, life-altering change, is possible. People can overcome amazing, amazing obstacles, like just crazy things that you think would shatter them. They've overcome them. One of my favorite things I used to do whenever I was struggling for motivation and kind of feeling depressed and bummed through different stages of my life, was watching ESPN's 30 for 30 or E60 series. They'll often highlight people who have some type of struggle in their past, but yet they were able to overcome that and become great. I remember one was Patrick Willis, who used to be a linebacker for the San Francisco 49ers. He grew up in an abusive household and actually had to kind of like fight off his dad from abusing his mom and his siblings at a really young age. And he said that that was the driving force for him to be great in sports, to then make it to the NFL, to get money, so that way his mother and his siblings didn't have to live in a poor, defeated state in life. And it was just wild to hear, like, okay, man, this dude was working so hard, doing push-ups for 4 hours a night, you know, training to defend his family. And it's like, oh, man, that like fires you up. There was another one I listened to where there was this baseball player. He was very good in high school, very good in college, but his freshman year of college, very promising outcome, got a scholarship and everything. But he started having kind of physical issues. Like for some reason, he wasn't kind of moving as well. He started noticing things felt stiff, like he just couldn't perform the same way. It turns out that he had a thing I believe it's referred to as the bone man syndrome, but where his muscles would calcify and they would actually turn into bone. So they became brittle, they became stiff, and he actually lost movement. It showed at the very end of the special, he was laying on a blanket in the back of a conference room. He had a voice recorder, like this recorder device, that he could speak through by texting. But he could really only type like one letter at a time. And he decided when he couldn't play sports anymore, he wanted to be a sports broadcaster. So he was at a conference for broadcasting. Here was someone who had everything in their life stolen from them, but yet they were trying their best to make something out of whatever they had left, which was very, very little. And I love those moments because I look at what I have in my life and oh my gosh, I'm so grateful. But there are times where I kind of forget that. And then you hear these stories of people who've struggled so severely that you're like, oh man, like I need to remember my blessings. I need to remember the things that I should be grateful for in a more conscious state all of the time, and then be proactive in taking advantage of those. So I've trained clients with connective tissue diseases where their muscles were strong as hell, but when they tried to do anything remotely strenuous, they would actually tear connective tissue. But it was a person who, back in their late teens, early 20s, could squat and deadlift over 800 pounds, but now they struggle getting up out of a chair because of the tissue damage that happened due to that disease. And I've trained that client, and I know how, I don't know, but I can see and imagine, I can see the frustration in him, and I can imagine the frustration he feels. I'll never know it because I don't have that disease. I don't have that situation, but you can see it. You can feel it, how frustrating it is to have the muscular strength to do things, but not the structural support. And anytime he kind of gets too close to the edge, he suffers a kind of a major injury issue, and that sets him back even more. I remember those clients because if there's a day where I don't feel like training legs, I remember his name. I remember training him. I remember the moments of frustration, and I remember how badly he would just love, absolutely love, to train his legs. He'd love it. It would be the best day he's had in decades if he could go and squat and be intense enough to throw up. He would be the happiest person throwing up in the world. And there I am with healthy legs, and I'm too damn lazy to do it. I'm making excuses to do it, like to not do it. those are things that help me remind myself to not avoid the challenging things in life, because in order to, like, to be able to do challenging things is a blessing. To be able to pursue a challenge as a choice, that's a huge blessing. If you're choosing to, like, do a weight training workout because you want to make your body healthier, maybe you want to get stronger, you want to get bigger muscles, you want to lose fat, you're choosing stress. You're choosing to go into a gym or train at home or train wherever you are, however you do it. You're choosing to apply stress to yourself. That is a blessing. There are so many people that are so distraught in life in such horrible situations, then the stresses they're experiencing are not by choice. And they have absolutely no margin for choice. They're just trying to survive. So when I find myself avoiding hard things, avoiding challenging things, especially when they're things that I would want to choose to do and I have the choice to not do, I try to remind myself to do those things. I don't want to get to the end of my life and wonder what could have been. I don't want to get to next month and wonder what could have been. But there are times I do make those excuses. There are times I do have those avoidance behaviors. They're 99.99999% of the time associated with me being behind in food or behind in sleep. When you're tired, when you're hungry, you don't make great choices. So I prioritize sleep and I prioritize food as much as I can, not only because they're directly related to the goals I have, but because they also help me do better with the rest of my life. I'm more proactive and aggressive with work when I've eaten well and slept well. I'm a better partner in my relationship. I listen better. I soak in the moments better. I'm calmer when there's chaos, when I've eaten well and slept well. I know that my fears of life, my anxieties in life, all the what ifs, they don't talk so loudly in my mind when I've eaten well and when I've slept well. So not only do they help me, those goals of eating well and sleeping well help me in my physical goals, my physical life, they help me with my emotional and mental life and relationships and everything. I'll also make better financial choices. I'm not going to DoorDash a $20 meal when I have some food in the house I can cook and it just costs me $6. You know? It just helps everywhere in life. And that's something I'm trying to always remind myself of and remind myself that I have to remind myself of it when I'm speaking to others. So when I talk to other people and I see the things that they're avoiding, the younger me would be frustrated with them. Be like, what the hell are you doing? You know, why are you doing that? Come on, let's just do this. Let's just do this. Let's just do this. And I'm the younger me wouldn't have understood it. When I was in my teens and in my early 20s, I wanted so badly to change my body, to make physical progress towards my goals, that it was the number one priority in my life. I didn't have the relationship that I have now. I didn't really have a lot of the... I had a job, but it wasn't a career. I was in school, but I was fortunate to do well in school, even if I didn't give my best. I do wish now I would have went back and tried to learn a little bit more rather than just passing tests. So back then, it was my number one priority above everything. And I had a lot less of other things to even have to be prioritizing. So I couldn't understand when people would avoid it. As I've gotten older, as I've had more things in my life to be responsible for, and I will say, as I've gotten older, I'm just freaking tired more. So I can drink an energy drink and still go take a nap. you're perpetually tired, it just seems. And that weighs heavy on you. So now I do understand when people avoid things that they know they should be doing. Because I have that underlying tendency as well that I have to remind myself not to fall into. And something I do have to regulate on a, you know, fairly regular basis. Try to think through it is like, do I have to do that every day? I don't know if I have to do it every day, but I definitely have to do it a couple days a week where there's something I should be doing and I have to kind of catch myself and say, hey man, like, you know, quit pissing around. Let's get to it. You know, quit avoiding it. Quit trying to do all these other tasks that aren't as important. You know, rather than training legs, I'll go do the dishes or go try to do some other chore around the house. I'm like, you butthead, just go train legs and catch this stuff later. You know, so I'll know why I'm avoiding it. I'll know what I'm doing. So I got to catch myself on things like that. And I think we all do. I don't think I'm alone in that because I talk to all my clients and seems to be a pretty universal thing in life with human beings is the things we could be doing to help us get the things we want. They're not easy. They're not convenient. We're not already doing them, typically. You might already train on a regular basis, but maybe some days you just kind of phone it in. You don't go in with the full intent to take every single working set to maximum effort. You go in, you move the stuff around, you're a little sidetracked, your brain's a little somewhere else. You got it in, so you're like, I got the workout in. But did you? You know, did you really get it in, or did you just do some stuff, check it off a list, but not actually challenge yourself, not actually push your body? You didn't maybe get the best of what it could have been. We're not going to get 100% every day, but I definitely don't want to just accept 60 and 70% every day. I would like to catch myself on days where I'm just kind of being slack and push myself a little bit more and try to get the best out of that day. Maybe the best isn't 100%. Maybe I'm tired, so the best I can get is maybe 90, but I'd rather get 90 than 60 or 50 or 40, right? If I know I'm supposed to take supplements because they make me healthier, but I just kind of don't want to take the pills every day, how hard is it to just swallow a couple pills in the morning or at night before you go to bed? It's not the end of the world. Pretty easy thing to do. Unless you have some kind of special situation where you can't swallow pills. It's pretty easy to do. But sometimes we just don't do it, right? I just don't feel like doing that today. Why? It's not that it's that hard. It's just one more thing that we have to do that day that we didn't necessarily want to do. It's one more thing we have to do that day when we didn't have the energy to do all the damn things we've already done this day. So that's what I kind of find for myself is what you want is in what you avoid. And why I tend to avoid things is when I haven't eaten well or slept well. That is something I would encourage you to look into. Is we know the phrasing, we know the concept of what you want is in what you avoid. We tend to avoid things that are challenging, but it's the challenging things that'll make us progress. We know that. So then we think to ourselves is, man, you know, I just need to be more disciplined. I need to have better willpower. I just need to be better is what we tend to think. That's too damn vague. That's too, you know, pie in the sky kind of thinking. What's the action step? What's the cause? Instead of thinking what you avoid, and then, well, I just need to not avoid it. No shit. But how do you not avoid it? And I would encourage people to pay attention to their food and their sleep. That's probably directly related to why you're avoiding hard things. If you wake up and you're just kind of too busy, you deem yourself to be too busy to eat, and you just jump into your day, maybe throw some caffeine in your face, and you just start going, you're going to crash in the middle of the day. You're going to make some poor choices. And the choices are only going to get worse and worse as the day goes on. Because your energy is going to get worse and worse. You try to eat something at lunch or you try to eat something later in the day. But the deficit now is so damn bad that you're not eating enough to catch up on the deficit. But if you did try to eat more, you're just going to be afraid that you're getting fat. Because now it's a lot of food at one meal. And do you really need this much food at one meal? And you start kind of going down this rabbit hole of chaos, basically. Mental and emotional chaos. So start the day with something good. Get some food in your face, even if it's a shake. even if it's a pre-made package of whatever. I remember whenever Meredith, one of the meals we had for her commute was a tin of almonds and a Core Power drink. She got Core Power, gave her protein. Almonds gave her some healthy fats, which was nice, slow digesting. So that gave her some energy to get her to lunch. Not a ton of calories, but it was enough. And it was something that required zero preparation. Grab the Core Power out of the fridge, grab the tin out of the pantry, and eat. Drink. You can do that while you drive. That's the only time I guess it'd probably be okay to drink and drive. But that's quick, easy, something to do. I used to do bagel sandwiches. Toast a bagel. By the time it's toasting it, or while it's toasting, pull out some lunch meat out of the fridge, slice of cheese, put on a little bit of hot sauce. Whenever the bagel's out, you mush the meat and the cheese in between the bagel and eat that on the road. Right now, one of my shakes I do in the morning is Greek yogurt, vanilla protein powder, and orange juice. I like that before a workout. Gives you some great protein base to go with. It digests well for me, so that's why I like it. And the orange juice gives some carbohydrates, gives some energy to use up in the workout. But that's a nice, quick, easy thing. I can make that. Like, put it all together, put the things away, 3 minutes or less, and then I just drink it over the next couple minutes or, you know, the start of the workout. But the idea is, if I know that if I don't eat well or sleep well, I'm not going to do well in life. I'm not going to make best decisions. So how do I eat better? I make food more convenient. Number one reason why people don't eat well is because of inconvenience. Like, better food choices are inconvenient. So they eat unhealthy things because they're more convenient, or they eat nothing because it's more convenient. Aim for conveniency. Why? Like, how can you make food more convenient? Sleep. Ooh, this is a tough one. But try to get to bed at the same time every night. Get into a routine. About an hour or two before bed, it'd be a good idea to bring the lights down. You know, in whatever room you're in, try to dim the lights a little bit. Try to reduce some sounds. If you have small kids, that's good luck. Maybe put them to bed a little early. But try to reduce stimulus. And then roughly, you know, 30 minutes or whatever before bed, it'd be a good idea to get away from screens, get away from mindless activities. If you just stare at a TV, you're going to stay awake a lot longer than if you were to journal or read a book. Yes, like actually read a physical hard copy, actual book. You can read a book. You can do some journaling. Just get away from a screen. Do something that requires a little bit of mental activity. It's funny because those things are sedentary. Journaling and reading a book are sedentary, unless you have some weird habit of reading a book while you run. Don't think you do. So they're sedentary. And your brain is active, but at the same time is, if you start to get sleepy, you will just kind of naturally start to feel that and be like, ooh, geez, you know, I'm kind of drifting off. I need to put this book down and go to bed. You put the book down, you're probably going to pass out before the book's even down. But those are easier activities that will actually allow you to feel the tiredness and actually recognize that and then fall into it and accept it and then get to bed. So try to get to bed at a consistent time. Try to pick something like that, like non-screen thing, something that's sedentary but has a little bit of mental power to it, where you got to read or you got to journal, think about some things. You can do a brain dump of just what's stressing you that day, what you need to remember tomorrow so that way you don't try to remember while you're sleeping. You can write down things you're grateful for, like a gratitude journal at the end of the day. There's been summary books I've looked at. One of my favorite questions is what made you laugh today or what made you smile today? Try to think of some happy things before you go to bed. That really can help with a more positive night's sleep because you have happy things on your mind. It can really help. But those are some suggestions on how to improve sleep. I do have past podcasts on sleep. So if you want to check that out, you can go to our website, www.brutalirongym.com. And on the bottom of the homepage, if you scroll down on the homepage, we do have the podcast player there. It goes back 300 episodes, but you can use a search function underneath to find older podcasts. A good older podcast is 1149. It's a mindset podcast titled Creating a Healthier Sleep Pattern. It's pretty good detail on how you can do, like, in regards to preparation, Also, temperature in the room, light, airflow, all these other things it talks about in that podcast. Podcast 1149, so that would be good to check out. But this is what I would look into, is how to get what you want. What you want is in what you avoid. It's simple then to say, well, stop avoiding it. Yeah, like I said, no shit. Why are we avoiding it? That's the question. Why are you avoiding the things you know you should be doing? Typically, it's because they're stress. They're added work. There's just more crap you have to do on top of the crap you already have to do. How do you create more resiliency, more emotional and mental and physical energy margin to do more crap that you don't want to do? Is eat better and sleep better. So that's what I would encourage you to look into, is to get what you want. Do the things that you're avoiding. In order to not avoid them, eat better and sleep better. Okay. Don't have a ton of information in terms of like special little tactics, but hopefully this was good to get some thinking and good to move past relying on self-discipline and willpower. Yeah, you know, that's wonderful and all, but you have to build that up. What's the foundation of self-discipline? Is self-care. Take better care of yourself. Start with that. Okay. If you have any questions, if you need anything, just reach out on the website, www.brittleirongym.com. On the bottom of the homepage is a contact form. You can just send me any messages you want. I'm always happy to read them and reply. So thank you for those who do reach out. If you like the podcast, please share the podcast. The more people we share it with, the more people can be helped by the podcast. So I appreciate it if you share it, and hopefully they will appreciate it if you share it. If you like the podcast, please consider donating to support the podcast, which you can do on the website. And if you like the information we share in the podcast, so you can find more from us on our social media channels, you can find us and follow us on Instagram and YouTube under the name Brittle Iron Gym. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.